somebody paid their electric bill. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I forgot to mention, we got a newlywed couple in the audience there. Welcome the Beck family, or the Beck couple. Amen. That's the best way to start out. Both of you saved, both of you love the Lord. Nothing could go wrong. At least that's what I used to tell my wife. But anyway, we're in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians this morning. We're going to, hopefully it won't, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says right here in verse 26. It says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this time we can come together. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that were sung, Lord. Truly, you are worthy of all our praise, Lord. Help us never to take for granted the hymns that we sing and just go through them like if it's something we get by. But, Lord, that from our heart we lift up our voices of praise, because you invented the voice box, Lord, for a reason. And that was to praise you and to proclaim your glory throughout this world. And I pray, Lord, you be with us even now. Lord, be with me. Help me to say those things which are right and pleasing in your sight, that the church would be edified, that the saints would be strengthened. I pray, Lord, you be with our pastor who is away. Lord, him and his wife, they have a brief refreshment, Lord, in labors that you've called them to do. And I pray, Lord, to be with those who are unable to be here. I pray especially, Lord, for Brother Ronnie Payne, Lord, you be with him through this time. And anyone else, Lord, needs your comfort. We ask thy blessing now upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Here, my question that you this morning, Lord, laid on my heart is, what is your calling? What is your calling? You know, we've all been called into a calling. Once you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, it wasn't just to get you saved. Because if that was God's purpose, he would have taken you as soon as you set up the, as the old saying, the white flag of surrender, and you gave your life to him. No, he left you here for a purpose, left me here for a purpose. And our question is, are you fulfilling that purpose? What's a calling? It's a vocation. It's a vocation. It says right here in Ephesians chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, and with all lowliness and meekness, lowliness and meekness, not loneliness, but lowly, you know, old age setting in here, so just meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit and the bond of peace, that in one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your callings. What is your calling? It's a vocation. I remember the great Baptist missionary to India, William Carey, was asked what his occupation was. He says, "My occupation is to preach the gospel. I just cobble shoes on the side to pay for expenses." And you see, that's kind of like the emphasis that God expects all of us. I know you all have careers, or you should have. I hope nobody here on welfare, stealing from hardworking Americans, you know, I'll get off that soapbox. But, you know, if you're not lazy, God will give you a job. You see, God knows you have need of things. But our main occupation, our main vocation, our main calling is to be a witness to this lost and dying world of a saving Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in word and deed and actions and mode of life. A vocation is sort of like a pilot. You know what his job is? His job is to pilot that airplane and get you safely to the destination and land in one piece. You know? You expect that. Would you get on an airplane if you walked by the cockpit and you saw the pilot holding up how to fly an airplane? Would you get in that seat? No. A doctor is pledged to do no harm. In fact, they take this oath, the Hippocratic Oath, I think it is, where they're pledged to do no harm. Well, nowadays, with today's now, if you're in medical field, I'm not against you or nothing like that. I'm against the system. You know, there's still a lot of good doctors and excellent nurses out there, but I think the system has taken over, and now it's become one big oil machine, and now we find out, just like a politician, his first occupation is to get elected, and his second occupation is to stay elected. And just like the doctor, his first occupation is to get a job in the medical field, and his second job is to make himself filthy, stinking rich. But that's my interpretation, you know. Yeah. The Lord may just say, okay, I'm going to make you sick, so you have to use one. But anyway, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. And, you know, that's his vocation. A garbage man's vocation is he's supposed to cleanly remove your garbage from your property and deposit it in a place where it's acceptable, you know. You'd say, well, everyone has a vocation. I remember a joke here. I was in aviation all my life. I mean, from 18 years old to till I retired. And I remember this joke, this story goes, this guy, his sole job was to service the toilets on the airline. You know, they bring there and put a machine, they put it, hook it up to this receptacle, and he pulls the lanyard, and all the effluent comes down and goes into a tank, and then he pumps this blue fluid. It's a formaldehyde mixture that's supposed to make everything smell good and everything. And he would do that, and he'd come home, and he'd come stained with brown and blue all over him, and his wife complaining, "Honey, I know that you love your job," he says, "but you come home smelling. You come home smelling and stinking. You got stains all over you. Can't you get another job?" And he looks at her and he says, "What? Give up a job in aviation?" All depends on how you look at it. Everyone has an occupation. You know, and another funny illustration, you ever seen them pictures of it says, the caption is, "When you were sent to do only one job," and someone was sent to paint the stripes on the highway, and you think like he had an epileptic seizure when he was painting the lines, you know, it was like, or he was drunk, you know. When you're said, you know what, your main, whether you like it or not, or you realize it or not, we Christians have been given a calling by the Lord Himself. And it says right here, and then you don't have to go to it, but this is our calling. Matthew 28:19. This is all familiar to you. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Well, you say, well, doctrine leader speaking to the 12 disciples. Yeah, but he meant everyone. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And finally, Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, he wrote this, he commended them because they were doing their calling. And he says right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, he says, And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye every were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. What a blessing. They were fulfilling their calling, even in the midst of trial and tribulation. A calling is something, basically stated for the Christian, a calling is something that you must perform when no other vocation can be done with a clear conscience. You know, I think a lot of times as Christians, we get off, if the devil cannot take your soul, guess what he's going to take? He's going to take your testimony. He's going to take your time. He's going to take your interests. And they may be fine in themselves. But if they start crowding out your main responsibility to be here, then you're not fulfilling your commission. You're not fulfilling your calling. You know? If you can get anything out of this message, you need to think about what your calling really is. You know, this world will pull you in all kind of different directions, and it'll get you so busy about things that really don't. I'm not saying that you shouldn't get a job. You should get a job. If anyone would not work, neither should he eat. But that shouldn't be your life. Your living should never be your life. Your living is like Paul. For to me is Christ, and to die is gain. Everything from that, you do that first and the Lord will protect you. The Lord will be with you. First of all, our calling, 1 Corinthians, our calling, if I can be real quick about this, I'll try and let you out by 2 o'clock. But anyway, don't worry. 1 Corinthians, it says right here, for you see your calling, brethren, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise men, not many flesh, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. First of all, I'd like to say that our calling is an exclusive calling. There's not too many people who want to join you. Haven't you found that kind of interesting? If you're a Bible-believing church today, you're going to be a small number. But that's just the way it goes. I'm not saying we should glory in our smallness, but that's just the way it is. People do not want to be committed to anything that makes them uncomfortable. And then if you preach the gospel like you're supposed to preach it, if you preach the word of God like you're supposed to preach it, people will not like it. They want something like in Isaiah, Ezekiel said, preach unto us smooth things, not hard things. We don't mean to be hard. We're trying to preach the word of God and let the chips may fall wherever they are. God says that we, to the law and to the testimony, we're to preach the word of God as it is written. And the reason why they don't like it is because, let's face it, it's a humbling experience. Even to get in this calling, you had to humble yourself, didn't you? You had to admit that you were a sinner for whom Christ died. And most of the highfalutin, people that have high positions in life and all that, they don't even consider the fact that they need to humble themselves and trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Because if you got a good in this life, why do you need Christ? That's their thinking. That's their thought process. In Matthew chapter 5, when he opens on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. All these things are exact opposite of what the world teaches you you should be. You should be proud. You should go after all that you can go. You know, all the advertisements are saying, oh, you need this new dress. You need this new look. You need this new car. You know, You need this, and, you know, what are people going to think of you? You know? And that's the way it is to get you. And that's why our calling is an exclusive calling, because it takes humility to get into it. Secondly, our calling is without repentance. Romans chapter 11. I know this. I'm going to give you the doctrinal context of this, so you don't think I'm starting a new church where Brother Crotch is away, but I'm not. He can have it. No. The one thing about, I know my calling. Romans chapter 11. It says right here in verse 29. I know this verse is used by a lot of people in the ministry to prove that they never, if one ministry don't work out, then they'll go on to another ministry. I never could understand someone. And I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't deal with people on different areas and things. I get that. But there's an awful lot of preachers these days that just say, well, my first ministry is not going to be my last ministry. It just goes to show me, where's your heart at? You know? If you change your ministry every 5 years, there's something wrong with your devotion. I'm not saying that the Lord can't intervene, but it's just awfully strange. Romans chapter 11 says right here, for the gifts of calling of God are without repentance. The doctrinal context is Israel, which was supposed to be a peculiar treasure to the Lord. He said in Exodus chapter 19, it says, now therefore, Exodus chapter 19, the context of this is, and the Lord is speaking through the prophet, through Moses. He says, now therefore, if you obey my voice and indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. And that's what Israel failed to do. They did like a lot of us. They got tired of the work. They got tired of their responsibilities, and they got lax, and they ended up blending in with the rest of the people. And the Lord had to deal harshly with them. Our calling is without repentance. In other words, God is not going to go against what he promised us. God will keep his promises. Some brethren use this to justify to stay in the ministry long after they've messed up. I've seen that happen too, where some brother will mess up royally in one ministry, and then he'll say, well, I feel God's calling me over here, and he starts it, and rather than humble himself and get out of it and give it to somebody else, they stay on and they end up hurting the ministry. Our calling is without repentance. It says right here, as far as we say, believers, in Romans chapter 11, verse 29 through 30, it says right here, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, for as ye in times past have not believed, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Because God used the occasion of the fall of Israel to put them aside for a while, and he went to the Gentiles, and through that situation, he included us in. Isn't it glad? Aren't you glad that God didn't give up on the situation, just throw up his hands and say, what's the use? He came to us. And now we are supposed to be that peculiar treasure to the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Try and go real quick here. That calling. Are you in the calling? Well, when you signed up, you automatically got put in the ministry. You may not be a pastor. You may not be a teacher. You may not be a Sunday school teacher. But you've been called into the ministry. It's up to you to find out between you and God, nobody else, what your ministry is. And if your ministry is, well, Lord has just called me to mow the lawn, then mow the lawn for Jesus. If he called you just to clean the toilets, don't gripe and complain about it. Keep them clean, you know. You know what the biggest selling is? Listening to all this stuff on the internet. Anyone ever been to a Buc-ee's? You know what their claim to fame is? Not a gazillion gas pumps. You know what their claim to fame is? The cleanest bathrooms on the highway. Don't you appreciate it when you can go under, especially you ladies, go into a restroom and find out it's clean? You know, that you can go in there and not feel that you're going to contract some type of communicable disease? You know? Well, just imagine if you're just a toilet cleaner in a Baptist church. You're a blessing. So don't look down upon yourself, you know? You know, the attitude is what really counts. You'll get a reward if that's what the Lord called you to do, you know? And you do it with a heart and a love for the brethren and a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll get just as many rewards as a major evangelist. I believe that. Because God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. Our calling, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says right here in verse 20, it says, "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather, for he that is called is the Lord, being a servant is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price, not be ye not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God." Our calling is not only it's not only a calling without repentance. It's not also not only an exclusive, but it's also an individual. God has something for everyone here. And you know what your job is when you first get saved? Is to find out what that calling is. And do it with all your might. You know, I found out one thing, that God does not call lazy people. I know plenty of brethren out there. I believe they love the Lord, but they always live in a dream world. Well, I feel the Lord is calling me to do this, and the Lord is calling me to do that. And they never put one foot in front of the other to get it done. Avail yourself. Find out, and the Lord will usually direct your path. You know, each of us have been called to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you sought out what that is? If someone were to ask you today, "Brother, sister, what's your calling today?" Would you have one? Would you have one? I ask myself that. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. This is one right here. Not only is our calling an individual calling, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul wrote this. He says right here, Philippians chapter 3, brethren, verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are past, which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Our biggest hindrance a lot of times that we don't know our calling is because we're dwelling in the past, what we used to do, what used to be. Forget about it. Forget about when you failed. Forget about when you flubbed your dub, as they say. Forget about the good times that you did. Oh, we used to do that. We used to do this. What are you doing now for the glory of God? What are you doing now? Forget about, you can't change the past, good or bad. So might as well just go forward, trust the blood, and go on for Jesus Christ. And you know what? Our calling is a high calling. Nothing else matters in this life than the calling that you've been called to in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is that calling again? You're to be a witness to this lost and dying world in whatever capacity that is. Through your life, through your conversation, through your mode of life, through everything you do. You can even be a mechanic and be a witness for Jesus Christ. You can work in a factory. And you know, I know you've been hired to work there. I'm not saying that you should steal from the man's time that's paying you to be there. but you pray each day for an opportunity, Lord, on a break or whatever. Can you give me an opportunity to witness for somebody? Because God, whether you like it or not, not all of us can be in the same place at the same time. God has placed you, whether you're going to be a teacher, whether you're going to, you're a mechanic, or whether you own a bookstore, or whatever. Always take the opportunity, not on the man's dime, but pray about wisdom and get an opportunity. Ask God to give you a opportunity to witness. Sometimes I wonder, some things that break down in my life is because the Lord wants me to witness to a repairman. And that has happened. That has happened a lot of times. I wish it don't happen. You know, I always think, Lord, why is there always a chink in something? Why does this thing just go smoothly? And he said, well, because if I make things go smoothly for you, Jordan, you're not going to trust me for anything. And then there's that. Not only is our calling a high calling, as I said, everything comes second in comparison to the calling that you've been called to be a faithful witness for Christ. Fifth, our calling is a worthy calling. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Not only is it a high calling, it is a worthy calling. First, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says right here, it says, verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and that ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you do for Jesus Christ from the heart, according to his word, is a worthy of him. You should have this attitude. It's a privilege. You know, you're starting to slide in your spiritual life if coming to church, doing something that you know you should do, becomes a chore. It should be something that you want to do because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we work not because we want to get saved. We work because we are saved. We want to be a blessing to the Lord. And I found out the more you have that attitude, the better it off you'll be happy-wise. Happy-wise. Our calling is a worthy calling. To whom? To him. You are the one who has saved and bought you. Just remember that. He saved you and bought you with a price, and he's already got that mansion up in heaven in that gated community called New Jerusalem with your name on it. And one of these days you're going to go there and you're going to be able to say, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. So he is worthy. The reason is the hope you're calling. And not only is it a worthy calling, our calling is a holy calling. A holy calling. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says right here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, he says right here, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a holy calling. It's a holy calling because he is holy. The Lord says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That not doesn't mean just your speech. It means your mode of living. Because as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So you need to ask, he didn't say holier than thou. He said holy for Jesus Christ's sake. And don't get us, too many people, when they start getting victory over a lot of things, they think they're better than their brethren because, you know, they haven't quite reached that level yet. That should never be in your heart. You know why you should be holy? Because He is holy. You know, I found out that goes along with that verse. It says, abstain from all appearance of evil. If it looks wrong, if it's something pushed by the world, then you ought not get involved with it. Be and make a difference. Not only is our calling a worthy calling, it's a holy calling, but it's a heavenly calling. It's a heavenly calling. And this is he says right here in Hebrews chapter 3. This is a great calling we have, brethren. What are you doing with it? It says right here, verse 1, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. We've entered into a heavenly calling. Titus chapter 2 says this, and this pretty much sums it up. For the grace of God, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. You know what a lot of problems with Christians is the problem today with most Christians is they've lost that yearning for His return. They've settled down with the world and they say, oh, the Lord. They may not say it in their mouth, but in their heart, in their actions, they say, well, He's taking His time. I might as well settle down. And that yearning for His return and have settled down. That's why you should always remember, it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble, that the Lord could come back. He could come back for you anytime. In fact, He could probably come back today. He could even come, if He wanted to, come before I say amen. Boy, that's going to destroy a lot of careers. hopes and dreams. But where is your heart? Are you looking for his return? And it says right here, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. He didn't say weird people. He said peculiar people, something precious to Him. Zealous of good works. Zealous of me. That's what your calling is. Our calling is a sure calling. And you know what? You say, well, that's all hard. This calling is hard. No, come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'll end on this verse here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I remember missionaries on the mission field came up to me and he says, man, this task is so great, brother. I don't know if I can do it. And I said, do you believe that God has truly called you? And he says, yeah, brother, I know. But it's just all these things I got to do and all that. Said, brother, if you believe that God has truly called you, come to this verse. It says in verse 24. Well, let's back up. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 24, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will leave you hanging. No, he says he will also do it. You know what he wants you to do? All you have to do is enable him to fulfill what he has already called you to do. Is just let him do it. Be willing to follow him and allow him to do it in your life. And guess what, brethren? You'll be able to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and say, not in a boastful way and a proud way, but in a thankful way, I did what I could, Lord. I did what you told me to do. It may have not been much, but I did what you told me to do. And the Lord will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the great calling that you allowed us to enter in. And it wasn't by our good works. No, it wasn't by us being nice people. It was by what your Son did for us on the cross of Calvary. Knowing, Lord, that he would save us, even knowing what we were, what kind of Christians we would be in his service, even then he could look down and he could say, yes, I'll die for them. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, none of us are worthy to get to heaven by our good works. Lord, none of us are good enough to do, even be mentioned. But we thank you, Lord, that you bade us. You enlisted us in this great calling. And I pray, Lord, every one of us, including me, would be busy about that business. Lord, that we would take the emphasis on our lives and more upon what you would have us to do. Lord, for we need you. Lord, we need you to come back. Lord, and I pray, Lord, you'd be with those who are unable to be here, Lord. You'd watch over the Brother Cross, Lord. We pray, Lord, you'd bring him back to us safely. And I pray, Lord, as we go our separate ways, Lord, you'd be with us even now. Help us to ponder what our calling is be. And, Lord, help us to fulfill it. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, stand. Thank you all for coming. We have the 2 o'clock service tonight. We got a special speaker tonight, Brother Mike, and we'll be praying.